No.
No.
Vayam.
Vayam.
I. Samyat. Perfectly.
Kartaram.
Maker.
Purusha
Rishabha.
O best of human beings.
Atmanaha.
Of myself.
Cha.
And.
Parasha.
Of others.
Api.
Also.
Gotram.
Family history.
Nama.
Name.
Cha.
And.
Yatkritam.
Which has been made by whom?
Translation. The girl said, O best of human beings, I do not know who has begotten me. I cannot speak to you perfectly about this, nor do I know the names or the origin of the associates with me. So you can repeat. The girl said,
O
best of human beings,
I do not know
who has begotten me.
I cannot speak to you perfectly about this,
nor do I know the names
or the origin of the associates with me.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The living entity is ignorant of his origin. He does not know why this material world was created, why others are working in this material world, and what the ultimate source of this manifestation is. No one knows the answers to these questions, and this is called ignorance. By researching into the origin of life, important scientists are finding some chemical compositions or cellular combinations, but actually no one knows the original source of life within this material world. The phrase Brahmagigasa is used to indicate an inquisitiveness to know the original source of our existence in this material world. No philosopher, scientist, or politician actually knows where from we have come, why we are here, struggling so hard for existence, and where we will go. Generally, people are of the opinion that we are all here accidentally, and that as soon as these bodies are finished, all our dramatic activities will be finished and we will become zero. Such scientists and philosophers are impersonalists and voidists. In this verse, the girl is expressing the actual position of the living entity. She cannot tell Puranjana her father's name because she does not know from where she has come, nor does she know why she is present in that place. She frankly says that she does not know anything about all this. This is the position of the living entity in the material world. There are so many scientists, philosophers, and big leaders, but they do not know where from they have come, nor do they know why they are busy within this material world to obtain a position of so-called happiness. In this material world, we have many nice facilities for living, but we are so foolish we do not ask who has made this world habitable for us and has arranged it so nicely. Everything is functioning in order, but people foolishly think that they are produced by chance in this material world and that after death they will become zero. They think that this beautiful place of habitation will automatically remain. So, Navadama Vayam Sam Gyak Kartaram Purusharshava Atmanamascha Parashapi Gotram Nama Chayatritam. So Omaganat Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur and Miritam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So nowadays people are interested in tracing out their roots. There's actually a book called Roots where you can find. Anyway, it talks about roots, how to go back and understand your genetic history. And they also have genetic tests nowadays where you can take a little swab from your cheek inside the cheek. You take a little swab, you send it in an envelope, and I forget how much it costs right now. And you can find out where, basically where your family comes from, like what countries they come from, and on your mother's side and your father's side. It's quite interesting. I almost wanted to have that done the other day. I wanted to find that out. And also, I just saw advertised in the airline magazine that you can do that with your dog, too. You saw that in the airline magazine, too? That was interesting. That you can actually, it's not as expensive as a human being. I was thinking of taking my DNA and sending it to a dog's thing, you know, to see if they could figure out if it was a human being or a dog. But anyway, so you can find out, you know, who your dogs are. There, and the dog is called a dam and a sire. That's right. A dam means the mother dog, and a sire means the father dog. So you can find out, like, the whole family tree. In fact, when I was young, we had one chihuahua. And the chihuahua was a small dog. And chihuahua's name was Pepe. And he came with a whole family tree. It's interesting. You know, it was a pedigree dog. So we put the certificate on our wall, you know, that our chihuahua, our Pepe, has a good family history. So, but they can trace it back, getting to the point. They can trace it back, you know, many generations. But they really can't trace it back to, as Prabhupada would say, you know, who's your father, your father's father, your father's father, father's father, father's father. They can't trace it back to Krishna. Govindamadi Purusham. He's the original person. So that's what we should do. We should trace our roots back to Krishna. Because Krishna, aham adirahi devanam, aham bija pradapita. Krishna actually states that in the Gita, that he's the seed-giving father for all of us. Of course, he gives the seed in a little bit different way than, you know, the seed of the father is implanted within the mother. He gives that seed through Lord Shiva, who is called Shambhu. At the beginning of this creation, or when the creation becomes manifest, Lord Vishnu Shaikshita glances at the creation, and that glance is known as Shambhu, and Shambhu, Lord Shiva, implants the living entities within the womb of this material nature. So in addition to having a father, who is ultimately Krishna, and an intermediate father is Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva can also be considered a father. And we also have a mother. And the mother is Durga. And Durga is actually our mother. Ma Durga, as they say, because Durga is the personification of the material energy into which Lord Shiva implants the living entities such as ourselves. And that's why in the Hindu tradition, they worship the Shiva Linga. And that's the male. It represents the male progenitor, Lord Shiva, the male progenitor, who is actually our father. The Shiva Linga and the Yoni. This is something that's done in Hinduism. Of course, we also respect, we see that Lord Ram, when he was going to bring back Sita Devi, he also worshipped the Shiva Linga. So it's not something that's unbona fide. It's something that's actually very traditional, because Lord Shiva is our father. Anyway, and going back past Lord Shiva, then we have Krishna. So, in other words, we have to research this. Not only our history on an individual basis, but also the history of the universe. You know, who was the universe created by? What happened to the universe before the creation was manifest? Of course, the scientists, they have many theories about the creation of the universe. And, you know, one theory is the Big Bang theory. There's the steady state theory. There's the expansion and contraction theory. You know, sometimes the universe is expanding, sometimes it's contracting. They have many theories about these things. I was just reading one scientist's discussion about his presentation of the Big Bang theory, because he's a professor in the university. So he presents the Big Bang theory to his class, and he says, "Well, class, this is the what happened. All of a sudden, there was a big bang. Everything exploded. And then he's praying at the same time to Krishna. Not to Krishna, but to God. He's not exactly a Hare Krishna devotee. But he's praying that no one will ask the question that he doesn't want them to ask. And what is the question he doesn't want them to ask? You know, what happened before the Big Bang? And so in this particular, I was reading, this is an interesting article. In this particular article, he says he sees some intelligent girl at the back of the class raise her hand like that. And then he thinks, oh no, here comes the question again. Because he gives this class every semester at the university. And, you know, he knows that most of the time some, you know, smart aleck or smart girl, aleck, I guess, is a male name, some smart lady will raise her hand and ask the question. And he just sort of beats around the bush. That means he doesn't really know what happened before the Big Bang. I mean, what caused the Big Bang? Or what was there before the Big Bang. So there's also the universal history as well as our whole family history that we have to be concerned with. So human life, getting back to the point here, human life means to ask that question. What happened before the Big Bang? Or what happened before our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather? Although generally people don't ask that question. Children ask that question sometimes, but adults, you know, they've learned not to ask the question. So, but a devotee, as someone who is actually interested in spiritual life, should be asking that question. And that question comes from, or at least the impetus for asking that question comes from humility, something which is very hard to attain in this material world. That someone realizes that they don't know at least everything. People are very proud. They think they know things. Just like we have the story of Sanatana Goswami when he was approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatana Rupa Goswami, they said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people say that we're very intelligent and that we have so much knowledge. But really, we don't really know what our purpose in life is. And even you have Sanatana Goswami later on when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, this is Raghunath Das Goswami. Okay. It's got Raghunath Das Goswami. When he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he had left his family, he had escaped from his family and went to Jagannath Puri to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, now I've taken the renounced order of life. I don't know what my duty is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So this is a very important quality for Vaishnavas, the quality of humility. Generally, you know, we think we know what is best as far as our activities. We think we know what is best insofar as the knowledge is concerned. So we're very reluctant, not of course referring to advanced devotees, but referring to people in general, we're very reluctant to admit that we don't know everything, or we don't know what we should do. And Prabhupada actually said that before you can really start preaching to people or sharing Krishna consciousness or bringing them closer to Krishna, they have to admit, you know, I just don't know everything. I'm bewildered in this material world. And at that point, you know, they're ready to hear. But Prabhupada said if they think they know something about spiritual life, it's like trying to teach someone to play the piano who has taught themselves how to play the piano. In other words, they think that they know which fingers go to which keys, and you basically have to unteach them or unlearn them, as the case may be, if there's actually a word like that. So you can teach them the right method of which fingers go to which keys. So we're talking about humility. So how does one become humble? That's actually an interesting question. Because it's also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lists this as one of a very important quality in the Shikshastika. He says, Chanadapi Samichena. That in order to be able to chant the holy names constantly, one has to become humble, or as Queen Kunti says, Akinchana Gotra. That's another, let's say, permutation or a statement of humility. So she says in her famous prayer, what, Janmaishwarya Shutasya Shibir Edamana Adapuman, that we're proud of different things. We're proud of our learning, we're proud of our beauty, we're proud of our good birth, Janma, Aishwarya, Shutasha, learning, and Shribir. And these things interfere with our attaining Krishna consciousness. I mean, they make us proud, or at least our attachment to these things make us proud. We have to understand it's our fault, not that good birth, learning, etc., are at fault, but we're attached to these things. So how does one come to the point? Of course, there's different ways of coming to the point. First of all, you go through the school of hard knocks. That's one way. And that's really what Queen Kunti went through, having everything taken away from her, her children threatened, so many disastrous things occurred in her life. And she prayed for more of those occasions. She said, Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru, please let these things happen again and again. Because Apuna Bhavadarshanam, I don't want to see repeated birth and death. That's one way of doing it. That's perhaps the hard way. The easy way is to actually take shelter of transcendental sound vibration. That's an easy way to become surrendered or to become humble. Just to somehow or other, all day long, just be hearing transcendental sound. And this, if you're hearing transcendental sound all day long, I mean, I know that may be hard if you're at work, if you have to work a regular job or something like that. But whatever occasion you have, then what is described in the Shikshashika, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, that actually cleanses the heart so that one is humble. One actually becomes humble because the anarthas, like the Kama, Krodha, Mada, Matsarya, Bari, Baya, become eradicated by the hearing process. Chuchushro, Shradhanasya, Vasudeva, Katha, Ruchichan, Mahatsevya, Vipra, Punya, Tirtha, Nishavana. That is my experience. My personal experience is that if I'm, whatever I'm doing, let's say I'm even doing my deity worship and I forget to put the MP3 player on, then the mind takes over. And the mind is planning all these things. You know, the mind is actually very expert in planning all these different things. And I know what's best, you know, this should be done, that should be done. And of course, we may have many different things we're planning to do for Krishna. There's no problem with that. But the self-centered concept actually takes over in the mind very, very quickly. That, you know, me, I, me, and mine. And you can tell how self-centered your mind is by how many times the mind comes up with the word me, mine, or I. The same way you can analyze someone's sentence structure when someone speaks by how many times they say I, me, mine, I. So that's my experience, that whenever there's an idle mind, you know, idle mind means it doesn't just idle, like a car on idle. Even a car on idling is still, the engine is still functioning, it's still going. But whenever you have an idle mind, the mind starts to go into this I, me, and mine type of consciousness. So what I discover is whenever I'm doing anything that, I can hear at the same time. Of course, sometimes you're doing things that you can't hear at the same time, like giving class, obviously. Of course, I'm hearing myself. But, you know, I'm not playing a tape at the same time. I know some devotees used to play a tape while they were giving class. A tape of Prabhupada chanting while they were giving class. But whatever, my experience is that whenever I'm doing something, like even dressing my deities or bathing my deities or cooking or anything like that, if I put some transcendental sound on, the mind becomes very, very peaceful. And I'm not thinking about myself anymore. I'm thinking about what Prabhupada wanted. Just like the other day, I was listening to Prabhupada about, what was the class about? Not wasting any time. It was a really interesting class. Prabhupada was talking about how for millions and millions, you've heard this before, millions and millions of dollars, you can't buy back one moment that's wasted. I was thinking, like, I was hearing that. I just say it's so valuable. You know, time is the most valuable thing because you don't can't get it back. And then hearing these things, then I thought, well, what am I looking at the news so much for? You know, so sometimes you go on the computer and you look at CNN or USA Today or some news like that. You know, and you spend too much time. Of course, it's good to be aware of what's happening. It's good to know that, you know, World War III is taking place or something. Whatever. I mean, it's good to have some basic knowledge. But, you know, Prabhupada did comment about newspapers. Nowadays, you don't see newspapers that much. At least I don't. You see the internet. So it affected me, you know, hearing this. You know, don't waste time. You got to engage your time in helping people, in preaching Krishna consciousness, hearing Krishna katha. And instead of thinking, you know, I need this, I need that, you know, what about this, I'm hungry, you know, when am I going to finish with the deity service so I can do my offering and do this, what I need to do, you know. I started thinking about what Krishna wants. So it's sort of, that's what humility means. Let's define humility. Humility doesn't mean to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. Everybody understands that? So you think of yourself less by thinking of something else. Because when you don't think of Krishna and pleasing Krishna, you're naturally thinking of yourself. There's only two things. I mean, it may be extended self. I was hearing another class yesterday. We were probably talking about extended self. He was talking about Gandhi. You know, Mahatma Gandhi. And he says, Mahatma Gandhi, and forgive me for this, but he was saying he was selfish. Because he was thinking not of, you know, all living entities, but he was thinking of his nationalism, get rid of the British and everything will be all right. Didn't work. Got rid of the British, but it's not that everything is all right. I remember, just a revolutionary concept. Like in Iran, they were thinking get rid of the Shah of Iran many years ago. When I was young, and they thought everything would be all right, but not everything was all right. So if you're really not thinking of pleasing Krishna, then you're really going to be thinking of yourself. There's only self or extended self. There's just two things you could think of. Krishna, pleasing Krishna, or self or extended self. Those are the only two things that are there. I mean, you can think of pleasing devotees, but that's also pleasing Krishna, the connection with Krishna. So, getting back to the point, so that's what humility is. Humility, that means to think less about yourself and your extended self and more about pleasing Krishna and the spiritual master. And that's bhakti, it's a natural sentiment, it comes back by hearing. So that humility manifests itself by hearing from Krishna's pure devotees as much as possible during our day. Whenever there's an available moment, we should take advantage of it. I mean, there's so many other things we can hear about. Of course, the Bhagavatam says that creates a place of pilgrimage for crows. That means self-centeredness, pride, etc. So that's really the secret. That's really the secret to having the right attitude. Is just hear all the time, and then you'll be steady. The mind becomes peaceful. I just experience this all the time. I mean, so many factors in this material world agitate the mind. I mean, even talking about the news, you read the news and the stock market's going down. You know, I remember, what was it, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was this increasing the debt ceiling. You know that? Nobody knows what I'm talking about. The United States had reached a point where they had to increase the debt ceiling to be able to, the national debt, to be able to keep paying people, you know, your SSI, SSDI, whatever you get from the government. And, you know, keep paying the soldiers. They had to take increase that. So I was reading that, you know, are they going to increase the debt? When is Obama going to, is he going to do it? Are the Republican Tea Party, are they going to agree with that? You know, all that. So the mind was becoming so agitated. So practically all day long I was thinking about it. I mean, I have to be honest. All day long I was thinking about the Tea Party, that damn Tea Party. Those stupid Republicans. Why are they harassing that nice guy Obama so much? I mean, all day long I was thinking about Obama and the Tea Party. And, you know, my mind was really disturbed by this whole thing. And, you know, I hate to admit it. And then, you know, but then when I listen to Krishna Katha, it's just like, you know, your consciousness goes up. You think of Krishna, you're humble. You're able to tolerate so much. You know, I was thinking, how can I tolerate this? The stock market's going down. My mother has stocks in the market, and I'm supposed to inherit those later on. You know, some self-interest there. If it wasn't self-interest, I wouldn't be agitated by the stock market going down, right? I mean, obviously there's some stuff. Otherwise, I wouldn't give a damn about it. You know, and there's so many things that agitate the mind. I mean, we read about, the other day I was reading about, oh, the sunstorms are going to increase this year, and they're going to cause some more electromagnetic pulses that may interfere with communications, and my mind was disturbed about that. But it's all self-centered. You know, in other words, you hear about things, or your mind can broadcast its own. The mind has its own CNN, even if you don't look at the internet. I mean, it's just like, huh? It's just all over the place. I mean, all this electromagnetic pulses, your mind. So I was thinking about, what if the sun comes, the sunspots increase, and there's electromagnetic pulses, and then I can't go on the internet anymore, so I was getting more anxiety about that. So practically everything I come in contact with causes me anxiety in this world. And that's because it's about myself. You understand? It's about myself that it causes anxiety. You know, what if this? What if that? Like, that's anxiety. Whew. It's one of the main diseases of people nowadays. Anxiety, right? And depression. I don't get depressed. I just get an anxiety about things. What if that happens? What if this happens? What if the stock market goes down? What if the, you know, whatever. But so the point is, that's all the opposite of humility. Anxiety is the opposite of anxiety is a manifestation of the opposite of humility. Do you understand that? It's an interesting point. It's about me. Unless one is an anxiety about Krishna and Krishna's service, about, you know, the health of devotees. I mean, these are all ways to dovetail anxiety in Krishna's service. But if you hear regularly about Krishna, then the mind becomes very peaceful. You're able to deal with these things. And that means hearing 24 hours a day. Kirtaniya Sadahari. If you're able to do that, then you're thinking about Krishna. So when I heard Prabhupada say, you know, you shouldn't waste any time, immediately my self-centeredness disappeared for some time. And then I was thinking, can't waste any time. Got to do what Prabhupada wants. And then I just turned my face away from CNN, you know. That means cable news network, which isn't on the cable anymore. It's on the internet. I just turned my face away from that and just said, no, hear and chant whatever opportunity you have, because with every rising and setting the sun, a day is lost. You can't get it back any time. You have to serve Krishna. So that really brought me down to earth. So we need to be brought down to earth to be in this state. Well, at least the girl here in this particular verse is admitting, I do not know who has begotten me. I cannot speak to you perfectly about this. I mean, at least she's humble enough to say that, but most people aren't humble enough. So it brings us back to the state of mind where taking shelter of transcendental spiritual instructions. So any questions or comments? We have about 5 minutes left in class. That's the best way to become humble. The other way, as I mentioned before, is just to get smashed. You know, just like have your health taken away, you get older, you look in the mirror and there's all these gray hairs and wrinkles and and you know, people don't like you anymore. I mean, there's all sorts of arrangements for humility. You're in debt. You know, what is it? St. Peter, don't call me, or I can't come. I owe my soul. Anyway, so then true humility can be attained simply by hearing as much as possible from the lips of a pure devotee. I mean, I just, this experience, when I hear from Prabhupada, then it really changes my whole life. It's really, really, really effective. Yeah.
Sometimes I can really hear what the Prabhupada is saying, and it really touches my heart, and I can. And there is something here, but how can I get more and better?
Just hear as much as possible. I mean, just kind of keep hearing. Keep hearing, keep good association. You're eating, sleeping, mating, defending. In other words, your physical activity should be as pure as possible to keep you in the mode of goodness. In other words, eating food. Like Prabhupada said, things like eating food cooked by devotees. And Prabhupada said, if you don't eat food cooked by devotees, you eat food cooked by people who are not, let's say, following so strictly, or whatever, then the consciousness gets affected. So you're not able to, your mind is not as clear. Because if you do things that contaminate the mind, then your ability to hear will not be as great. But even so, we do find our mind, you know, fluctuating from one thing to another, even if we're very careful about these things. So my feeling is you just like put CD, MP3, no tapes anymore. Put the CD, MP3, or class on, or music. I mean, I've even discovered when I'm riding my bicycle, which I do every day for exercise, that yesterday I was riding the bicycle, I put the Guru Vashtika prayers on. So I was riding the bicycle and listening to Prabhupada chant, Samsara da vana da lila loka, you know, going down the road like that. I don't know what anyone thought when I passed by, you know, they heard Prabhupada chanting. So it was very nice. Just do it as much as possible. Whenever you have a spare moment, don't waste any time. I hear the statement from Prabhupada, don't waste time. Don't waste time. Because time is so valuable. You can't get it back. You can't, you know, whatever time you wasted. I've wasted so much time in my life. Even after I became Krishna conscious. Well, I'm not Krishna conscious. But even after I joined the Hare Krishna movement, then I can think of so many times that I just like got into things, did things that really were just a waste of time. I mean, you can look at the news 24 hours a day, right? I mean, it's addictive. It draws your consciousness in, and you know, and there's so many things. I mean, CNN, there's the travel section, okay, and you can justify in your mind, oh, I travel, I should hear about what's happening in the travel section. And, you know, the section that attracts me the most is the technological section. You know, what, technological? So that, you know, what? When is the iPhone 5 coming out? When is the iPad 3 coming out? What happened with Steve Jobs? Why did he resign from Apple Computer? Will it still be just the same without him? You know, all these things go through. It agitates the mind. I'm telling you that. Just wasting time. It agitates the mind. You know, what's happening in Iraq, what's happening in Libya, what's happening in Afghanistan, what's happening in Hillsborough. I mean, there's even a newspaper for Hillsborough or Orange County. What's the use? So the mind gets agitated by all these different things, and then so it basically keeps you thinking about yourself. You know, how does this affect me? What about me? And it doesn't bring you to the point of humility, of understanding Krishna. So the solution, Bhavoshado Sotra Manobhiram, as it's described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter, text 4. Very, very wonderful verse. Nivritta tarchar ubagiyamanas. If you want to get rid of these tarsha, these disturbances in the world, upagimanas baboshido shotra manobiramat. And then you have to hear about Krishna, Krishna Kata. Ka utama shloka gunana vadat. Only someone, of course the statement is only someone who is doing sinful activities, pashugnat, killer of the soul, killer of animals, will not be attracted to Krishna Kata. But Krishna Kata is so attractive. In the beginning, we force ourselves to hear because the mind is rebelling. What about me? But when we force ourselves to hear, then it's like it becomes nectar. That's what I've experienced. Like in the beginning, happiness in the mode of goodness is like poison, and at the end it's like nectar. So you force yourself. You said, I don't want to hear, I got so many things to think about. You know, you're thinking, what? And you say, no, turn on the MP3 player. Turn it on, you rascal. No, I got to think about this. I got so many important things to think. Turn it on. You know, so you have to have this struggle with your mind, isn't it? Because the mind is saying, no, I can't hear properly, so it's better not to turn it on. It'll be offensive if I turn it on, because I won't hear properly. So you just like, turn it on, and then you're enveloped in transcendental sound. That's the secret. Then you be anywhere, do anything. Not anything, but, you know, do anything for Krishna. But you can be anywhere. You can be in a plane. You know, I've experienced you're in a plane, and you just put the earphones in your ears, and then you're off in Vaikuntha. You're transported to Vaikuntha. I mean, it's just, we're so fortunate to have all the modern technological conveniences for being able to be absorbed in sound 24 hours a day. That's fortune. That's the proper use of technology. Not to be absorbed in technology. Like me. But to use technology properly. Okay.